Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. We're here with Christian Wade. We're talking about programmability and automation of analysis services. And if you haven't seen the intro to analysis service videos, it's pretty fantastic. You should watch it. Thanks for joining
me. Thank you so much for having me, Scott. I'm very happy to be here. We're very excited about Azure and Azure services. It's really the dawn of a new era, so to speak, for a product with a rich history, a strong heritage, that is recognized by Gartner and Forrester as a clear leader in the technical BI space. So absolutely, we're very excited that it's now in the cloud as a fully managed platform as a service.
And it makes it more accessible to everybody.
Absolutely.
People who thought they needed it but didn't want to install it
locally. Absolutely. For a regular company that just wants to get the full power of an Azure services, the high-end scalability, and the automation capabilities because it's owned and managed by IT, and the rich programmability, that's what an Azure Services gives us. And the fact that it's based on proven technology means that Azure and Azure Services has a huge head start. It's inherited a rich set of APIs from SQL Server and Azure Services. And on top of that, we now get everything that as a result of being an Azure resource.
So you talked about in the first video where you took 2 billion rows of taxi data and without any programming at all, did all sorts of manipulations. But when I have the ability to do automation, when I have those programming skills, what kind of things can I
accomplish? Yeah, absolutely. So let's start off with what Azure and Azure Services has inherited from SQL Server and Azure Services, and then we'll talk about the whole dawn of the new era in terms of what's available.
Sounds good.
All right. So Azure and Azure Services has multiple ways of administrating the database. We've got this tabular model scripting language, which is kind of like a DDL. We've got a bunch of PowerShell commandlets, and then we have the complete programmability of the tabular object model that is exposed in C#. And as I mentioned, Azure and Azure Services has a head start in that not only has it inherited all of these APIs, but it's also inherited a thriving community and a lot of community open source tools, one of which I'm going to demo in a moment, which uses the tablet object model.
So people who have been in the space for years,
right,
who know analysis services, this feels very natural for
absolutely
them?
Absolutely. The migration, I've never seen a product that is as seamless in its migration from on-prem to the cloud. It's insane.
Okay, so it's very natural.
Everything just works. I mean, it's very, very natural. Obviously, the server management is all outsourced, and the availability and the high-end scalability and speed of
service. I call it administrivia.
Administrivia is all taken care of, and just focusing on building quality business intelligence models for an enterprise organization, for large models to promote consistent decisions. You know, that's what Azure Services is good at, and that's what you can concentrate on building.
Very cool.
Yep, absolutely. So then, as we mentioned, because it's now an Azure resource, we get to do all of the other cool stuff that you can do from the Azure portal in an automated fashion. So, you know, you can spin up servers in seconds, as we saw in the previous one, and obviously you can automate that. So therefore, your servers are exact replicas of each other. There's no manual intervention. The predictability is really good. And like we said, we can spin up servers as part of automated test runs. You can automate scale up, scale down, and pause. So there's a whole new world of opportunity for cloud optimization that we didn't have before.
Yeah, this is no small, this is very important. People shouldn't gloss over this. By you participating in the resource manager ecosystem, by you being just another ARM template, suddenly the spin up a server in a week is, you know, spin up a server in a minute.
Suddenly we're in a whole new dimension, if you pardon the pun, which is that way.
Yeah, you're even implying that I could go in as part of a continuous deployment, spin up a server and do some tests.
Absolutely. I can spin up a server, run a create a database using the previous scripting languages. I can load data into it. I can run a bunch of tests, and I can just delete the server. And I only pay for the server while it's in use, right?
Yeah.
If I pause it, I don't pay a penny, right? So
really?
Not even for storage, unlike SQL Database. That, hopefully that won't change. That may change, but there are a lot of cost savings there.
Yeah, it almost doesn't seem fair.
It almost doesn't seem fair. And you know, if you compare the cost to, you know, setting up a virtual machine with equivalent hardware, with a dedicated SQL Server and Azure Services Enterprise Edition instance, based off my rudimentary calculations, even if you had this thing on the whole time, it would be marginally cheaper. Then you get all the cost of ownership benefits, right? So you get all of the cloud optimizations. You don't worry about availability. You get scalability off the bat. You get you don't need to manage a big server footprint. So the cost of ownership is the real value proposition.
And if you compare it to doing it yourself in your own building with the people and the hardware, it's going to be quite expensive.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's dive in, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so so this is SQL Server Data Tools, and it barely knows where I'm going to deploy this model to.
Right.
It could be deploying to SQL Server Managed Services or Azure Managed Services. There's barely any difference whatsoever. So I get the full BI semantic modeling capability from SQL Server and as services. And
so people who are seeing this, this looks familiar to them.
Absolutely.
They say, I've 100% done these familiar. BIM models before.
Absolutely. I've done these BIM models, and it works the same way as before. So these things are just, they're just, the definitions are in JSON.
Right.
That's what's underneath. And it's all the same processes that they may have on-prem today. So I'm going to actually deploy on the fly to that big server with 2 billion rows,
right.
Some row-level security. So I've set it up in this kind of dynamic, data-driven row-level security. And so if I come into the role, we'll see the filter that specifies that there are a couple of test users. One can access the taxi rides in New York State, the other one in New Jersey State.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just see that in the Power BI visualization minute. So
right.
This is the function. And if you see here, the members are AAD UPNs, right? This is really the only difference in the modeling experience, is that when I'm referring to security members, they're AAD. Other than that, it's basically the same.
Which is good if you have, if you're using Azure Active Directory in your organization.
Absolutely.
I don't have to remember another login. It's
absolutely
just me.
And you can sync them across, so there's a very seamless migration, right?
Nice.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm going to actually use a community open source tool called BISM Normalizer to run this deployment. You may have noticed that this is running in an experimental instance of Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually running in debug mode in the background. It's a Visual Studio extension.
Right.
And this
one
is,
Visual Studio launched another.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, some BIs can actually code. There's a myth that says that BI guys can't code, but I think we'll seek to put that right. And so it's basically schema compare. It does a comparison between this, and it's a merging tool.
Does this this BISM, this BSIM tool, this open source tool, know about Azure?
It, absolutely. It deploys straight to Azure.
No, but does it know that Azure exists, or was it written before Analysis Services?
It was actually written before Azure Analysis Services, as were a bunch of other community tools that just magically work with Azure Analysis Services. So we've just inherited this wealth of heritage from SQL Server.
So the tools that you've written will work as well.
They all work. Basically, everything just works. I mean, it's pretty insane. So it's listing all the objects, and it shows their JSON object definitions here, and it shows us the differences. So here is the trip table, which is the one with 2 billion rows. Now, the only difference in this case is that the target has 144 partitions, whereas the source doesn't, because the way that we manage scalability in our services, we have this separate process running in Azure Functions that creates and manages those partitions. So the version of the tabular model I get from source control doesn't have those partitions in. So I need a deployment method that will just pick and choose what I want to deploy and not mess with a bunch of other stuff. Right? So there's a bunch of examples like that.
I see. So are you saying that you want to think about it as if the partitions don't exist?
Absolutely.
But the reality is that they do.
They do.
So you need to manage that layer of abstraction.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are a bunch of other use cases for this. You know, I can standardize objects in an enterprise organization. I can bridge the gap between self-service and technical BI, because I can import a self-service model into Analysis Services here in Visual Studio, and then I can merge that into an existing corporate BI model without having to have a different Analysis Services database for each migration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are a bunch of use cases for this. So in this case, I'm simply going to just skip the trip table, and I'm going to hide skip objects, and we're seeing that all we're deploying is these security objects, and the reader's role, we're going to deploy the AAD UPNs. Go ahead and validate selection. At this point, we can generate a script to run later or hand to a DBA. So this is the tabular model scripting language that we referred to earlier, right? Or I can just go ahead and apply it, which I'll go ahead and do. And so it's going to figure out, okay, I'm deploying a couple of tables. I need to load data into them. And in this case, it's just a few thousand rows, so it can do it fairly comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So this will just take a second. And there it is.
See, and a few thousand rows, a few 300,000 rows.
Yeah, not the 2 billion, obviously.
Sure, still.
And then, so that's all now in memory now. And if I redo the comparison, everything's the same except what we chose to skip.
Nice. Right?
So you can see the manageability. I can use this. I can run this from a command line, so I can use it for branch management, and it just opens up a bunch of new manageability opportunities. And it shows how programmable the product is. As this is an open source community tool, right? So having deployed that, I'm now going to switch to this browser that is logged in as one of those users. And just to be on the safe side, I just need to refresh that one. And this one is the other user, so I'll quickly refresh this guy as well. Okay, so this user is logged in as user 01, so he, I believe, can see all the data where the pickup location was in the state of New York. Mm-hmm. So it's just building up its caches there. So there we are, and we get all of the rich Power BI moving bubble scatter plot visualizations and all that cool stuff that we get with Power BI as a front end.
That's crazy.
And we get all the cross filtering, et cetera, right? And so there's LaGuardia. And now let's log in as this one, which is the other user, and this user can see only the data in New Jersey. So with the magic of row-level security in Azure Analysis Services, we've basically taken a taxi ride from downtown Manhattan through the Lincoln Tunnel, emerged in New Jersey, and we're going to end up in Newark Airport once it loads. I should have clicked on it, and it would have loaded by now.
Yeah. Right. I'm actually flying into Newark Airport. Thinking I should fly into LaGuardia.
Yeah, LaGuardia is a pretty good one. Actually, Newark is a pretty good one as well, because it spends most of its time up here in this quadrant, which has maximum revenue per trip, minimum minutes per trip. So
pickup that means location, I'll be spending a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, the trip will be
but you'll be helping the taxi guy, right?
That's nice. I'll tell them that the power of analysis services has confirmed that to be true.
That you are helping the taxi guy, absolutely. So
that's pretty fantastic. All right. Awesome. That's pretty programmable, and I really appreciate it. I want to emphasize the idea that there's this huge community that was doing this before. All of that knowledge, all of those tools goes into the cloud with them.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much
for
your time.
Thank you so much, Scott.
We're learning all about how to program analysis services in the cloud here on Azure Friday.